This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
For the second time in my life, I'm guilty of committing a crime. Being horrifically ill-prepared for my fantasy football draft. Because I doubt my league mates minded my team finishing 3-10, earning the ridicule of not just my friends and family, but of every man, woman, and child I've ever encountered. But this season, I find I'm so excited I can barely sit still or hold a thought in my head. I think it's the excitement only a future hashtag Foot Clan champion can feel. A future champ at the start of a long journey, whose conclusion is dispersing a wide range of insults upon my league mates. Things like, "You're one pathetic loser," or "You must be a major disappointment to your parents," or my personal favorite, "You suck, buttface." You know who's going to be the toilet bowl champion this year? Not me. Not me. To join me on this journey, head to www.ultimatedraftkit.com. I hope to see you there.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in.
Yeah.
I don't have all the vowels yet, Mike.
Ah, I see.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I can't wait for E. Egads! Welcome to the podcast.
Tuesday, August 16th. Jason Moore, Mike Wright, Andy Holloway. How you doing, Jay?
I'm doing great, man. This week is an exciting, exciting week. This is like, I feel that fantasy football is really coming in full force. You've got preseason games sandwiching us right now. We had them already. We got them this coming weekend.
Love a good sandwich.
You have fantasy football drafts happening. I know people who have had real home leagues already start. This weekend we'll have a ton, and as the next two weekends go, I mean, this is the time. The time is nigh.
We also have a very, very special week planned for the UDK because we are giving away an ultimate draft kit for life. So I don't believe we let you bequeath this. I don't know.
Yeah.
Can you bequeath?
I assume I'm living forever. So this thing should go on for a long time. I'll allow bequeathing.
Feels like a real tax loophole.
To bequeath?
Yeah, I feel like the government will probably come in and shut that down. Value too great.
Too great, yeah. I mean, I don't know what your future bequeath situation will be, but we are giving away an ultimate draft kit for life, a Deebo Samuel jersey that is signed by Deebo himself. Very manly signature. And Stephon Diggs, a signed mini helmet.
It's just like the imprint of a hammer.
Is that what Deebo manly?
Yeah.
That's what makes it manly?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You can order the UDK. Here's how you enter, by the way, to win the Ultimate Draft Kit for Life. Order the 2022 Ultimate Draft Kit by Friday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Why that time? Well, that's because we are going live with a special fantasy football live stream. We'll be answering questions, and at the end of that live stream, we will give away the Ultimate Draft Kit for Life this Friday. So if you have purchased it in the past, you're entered automatically. If you have not yet got it, get it by Friday. Prepare yourself for your draft. It has all of our in-depth player projections for every single relevant fantasy player. All three of us have done those. We update them regularly. This is not a dead pre-printed magazine when players were in completely different situations. This is living and breathing and has sleepers, breakouts, busts, and values that we've updated. We just did our dynasty rankings yesterday, updated those in the UDK. There's 100 player profile videos. There's a ton of tools and resources to use. And like I said, the winner will be announced on Friday on a live stream. So ultimatedraftkit.com for that. Jason, you know, this quick question seems tied into you. So yeah,
It's a good one.
Which more are you most likely to draft at their current average draft position? Let me read them out for you. DJ Moore, fourth round pick, late fourth. Elijah Moore, eighth round pick. Sky Moore, 10th round pick. Rondale Moore, 12th round pick. Or you could go with Jason Moore, who is undrafted.
Are you still on the Chargers?
I would need to look that up. I should talk
to my
agent.
That, as you say, that's for my agent to handle if I'm on a team.
I don't remember if I made that roster right now.
I don't worry about such details.
Yeah, I just go out and play ball, man. I'm here to play ball.
I like this question because I'm not sure that any of them are bad picks at their draft position. I actually think all four, I mean, late fourth DJ Moore
okay.
feels like the floor.
I love Michael Keaton. Elijah Moore has been balling out. I think he is so talented. What he showed on the field last year was outrageously good. He was one of those players you wanted to remember going out into the next year. So good. But it is tough.
Corey Davis was out during some of that time that he was great, and then they drafted Garrett Wilson. It's so hard.
But the camp reports have said that he is the star, that he is the main guy of this receiving corps so far this offseason. And in the eighth round, I really love it. The issue is the situation here where you already had a Zach Wilson problem. And now it you know, we make jokes. I make jokes, oh, maybe this will be good for Elijah Moore because Zach Wilson is, you know, we're going to find out more about his specific knee injury today.
It's not good.
But it's not good. It's not good. There's a reason Joe Flacco doesn't have a team and Mike White wasn't drafted in the first round. So he does scare me there. I do think it's worth taking him at the 803. But to answer the question, who am I most likely to draft at ADP? It's DJ Moore.
That's mine, too.
I've had him quite a bit. When he falls around that 4-5 turn, it's hard to pass him up, a guy who's had 1,150 yards three straight years, and the only issue is touchdowns. And he's had a guy throwing him the ball that does not know how to throw touchdowns. So you can't just blame the wide receiver when the actual quarterback throws 2% of his passes as touchdowns.
Mike, is it DJ Moore for you or is it Elijah?
It's Elijah Moore for me. I was considering going with Rondale Moore. As a 12th round is spectacular when you have it works into our strategy of when we get these late round guys, we want to know immediately, can this player be a contributor? And we will know very quickly, is Rondale Moore the off-season hype that he is getting of he's going to be fully utilized, unleashed Rondale Moore this year.
Is he going to be any taller?
What does that look like? Not really sure yet, but I mean, he's going to be on the field a ton for those first 6 weeks with DeAndre Hopkins suspended. But Elijah Moore, to me, in the eighth, like, he's someone who, if everything breaks right, like, I think he has the talent. He could finish top 15, even a top 12 wide receiver because he's so talented. Rondale, that's not in the range of outcomes to me with Hollywood and Hopkins eventually coming back. So it's just, I'll take that eighth round discount and see if it really works out.
Yeah, and you might be listening and to yourself thinking, well, Sky Moore should be the best in the 10th round. Rookie wide receiver for Patrick Mahomes, who was drafted in the second round. Great draft capital, had a lot of production. And there's a lot of, you know, if you read articles, there's a lot showing that rookie wide receivers beat their ADP. But that's very, very, very misleading because that's on the season. And if you're playing best ball, okay, use that information. But the reality is rookie wide receivers usually get off to a slow start, super duper stars like Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase notwithstanding. And so when it comes to a draft pick in your home league, if you're looking at Sky Moore, I think he's a talented player who will have a good season. He's not someone that I'm looking forward to drafting because Andy's talked about you want a guy that you can cut after week one. Well, I don't think Sky Moore is going to dominate week one, and you're not drafting him for that. You're drafting him to work his way into this offense that it's being reported right now. It's clearly Juju and MVS as the two wide receivers and two wide receiver sets. And so second half of the year, I think Sky Moore could be very, very relevant this year, but that's not in my home leagues, in a managed league where I want to draft rookie wide receivers.
Well, you'll see two Moores play each other in week one, Kansas City, Arizona. Sky Moore and Rondale Moore will get their shot. But I'm with you. The Sky Moore thing's tough because, like, where would you draft Demarcus Robinson right now after Tyreek left? Where would you draft Byron Pringle right now if you knew that those guys were going to be the third on this offense? Like, Sky Moore would have to – he has to do a takeover. He has to pass a Juju or an MBS because peripheral targets beyond Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, even with Patrick Mahomes being the elite of the elite, have been entirely unpredictable and unreliable for fantasy for the Chiefs.
Yeah, I get the points, but we know that those two guys are not – we know who they are. We already know, and we don't know completely who Sky Moore is yet. So he at least has hope that – like there is a chance. Like
I feel like that's not honest. Because,
really?
Yes, because you should say the same thing about MVS. Then you know who MVS is. Right?
Well, yeah,
right?
It's,
but you have promise with MVS. Here,
yeah,
right?
it's hope for MVS. It's hope and following the actions of the team. Like the actions of the team said Sky Moore should be drafted in the second round. The actions of the team said we're giving MVS a 3-year, $30 million deal. And they did not give that deal to Robinson or Pringle. They let those guys go.
Look, guys, I'm excited to
announce
that.
Yeah, go ahead and share.
I did sign a 1-year, $895,000 contract with the Los Angeles Chargers.
Oh, lunch on you.
Yeah, so I'm playing, boys.
But you're out with a soft tissue issue.
Well, I mean, I've got some hamstring problems.
Of course, we know how Jason Moore rolls.
I've been sitting a lot.
All right, into the news.
News and notes from around the league.
We have some quarterback sleepers, league winners, later round options that we want to get to today because we did quarterback rankings top 10 yesterday. Today we were going to talk about some potential upside values. But in the news, going to blitz it real quick, Adam Schefter reporting there's a real chance that the status of Alvin Kamara's felony battery case will have no effect on his availability this season, which has been something we've kind of insinuated is the likely outcome, but it's good to hear that. Probably draft him without very much consideration for that, to be honest. Cam Akers, Darrell Henderson, Rams running backs, both dealing with soft tissue injuries, being held out of practice.
Oh, man. Is Kyren practicing?
Yeah, he is.
Is he back?
Kyren Williams, rookie running back, is practicing. It's something to monitor. It's just disappointing. Obviously Cam Akers coming off of an Achilles and Darrell Henderson never being able to stay on the field, but it does show that this team has two running backs that can have problems with their health. And so I can't imagine a world where Cam Akers just is the three down back and I feel like they really need to spell each other to keep each other on the field.
Yeah. I mean, Darrell Henderson last year missed a couple of weeks with injuries. It's been an issue, those soft tissues. Washington Post reporting Antonio Gibson is practicing with the punt team and the third string offense.
What is going on?
So
man?
Antonio Gibson is trending towards the most terrifying middle round pick you can make.
Yep.
It's one of those things where you can't – I mean, it's a good example, right? You can't just – put it in a vacuum and say, Antonio Gibson, look at your previous year's fantasy finishes and it's over. You have to see the context and, you know, he's practicing with the punt team where Brian Robinson used to be.
Yeah, they like running back in as one of the blockers in the slot because it mirrors pass protection. And Brian Robinson Jr., their rookie they drafted this year, was in that role and now today it was Antonio Gibson. So
maybe he's just not good at it and...
Like, right, like Brian Robinson was just terrible, and they're like, yeah. Gibson, you're so good.
We need a superstar.
Yeah, like they did with Barry Sanders and Walter Payton and all of those stars.
Well, those
yeah.
guys, I don't know if you know this, they're terrible, terrible on special teams.
Mm, yeah. Ramondre Stevenson practicing in the James White role in the Patriots offense. There's a lot of...
So dumb.
There's a lot of optimism around Stevenson in general, which I think is fair and warranted. Pierre Strong has struggled. Their rookie running back, Damian Harris, is on an expiring contract. So Ramondre, independent of this report, was interesting. But
he's a good pass catcher, and so far the stats that have been shared from training camp have had a lot of passes going to the running backs, which is rare. But the thing that I think is dumb is just calling it the James White role. Like, James White's not there. Tom Brady's not there. Josh McDaniels isn't there. They're installing a new run. This is a totally different offense. Just because you throw it to a running back doesn't make it a James White role. So that is just silly to me.
Yeah, I remember people stepping into the Darren Sproles role before.
Yeah.
Except for you need Darren Sproles for that role.
Mm-hmm.
Melvin Gordon returned to practice on Monday. That foot contusion is fine. I found it very funny that, you know, in the world of Twitter reporting, somebody posted a picture of Melvin Gordon
yes.
with a, quote, foot pad on, and he's practicing with a foot pad because of the foot contusion, and Melvin Gordon himself, who is a known Twitter replier.
Oh, yeah, look, ladies and gentlemen.
He jumped in and said, that's my cell phone in my sock.
And then once you said that, and you look at the picture, it's like super clear that he's just got his cell phone in his sock. And I mean, could you imagine if you were the reporter?
Yeah,
just body bag.
It's got to feel real bad. But this is a good reminder. If you are ever going to tweet about Melvin Gordon and you don't want that heat, you don't write out his full name, because this dude...
He's got a team of people.
This dude searches his name up on Twitter and sees what people are saying about
him. Yeah, you don't need to tag him.
No.
If you use that name, he will see it. So use MG. We'll know what you mean.
Cliff Kingsbury, I know, Jason, you were looking into this yesterday. Hollywood Brown, Kyler Murray, they were practicing.
Yay!
So you said you wanted to see that.
Yeah, I mean, if Hollywood continued to miss, you know, the rest of the training camp with his soft tissue issues, I would have been moving him significantly down the board, even if they say he's ready to go. But he is back at camp. He's practicing. That is fantastic. And I think he's a great value right now.
And if you want to see the video of them practicing together and you look it up, it'll just look like the Falcons are practicing, just so you know.
It's really true.
Because the Cardinals got the black helmets on with the red jerseys, and it's weird, man. Let's talk quarterbacks.
Quarterbacks.
All right, yesterday we covered the top 10. If you want to hear us discuss these players, go ahead and click on that episode. Josh Allen at number one. Justin Herbert at 2, Kyler Murray at 3, Jalen Hurts at 4, Lamar Jackson at 5, Mahomes at 6, Brady 7, Russell Wilson 8, Burrow 9, Trey Lance came in at 10. Again, I'm going to repeat this because we saw a lot of comments on it. That was 4 point per touchdown leagues. That's what the rankings were. If you want to see, if you play in a 6 point per touchdown league, it does change the rankings a lot.
They're pretty different.
And one of the reasons to play in a 6 point per touchdown league is to mitigate the weight of rushing quarterback value to some degree. It's not enough to satisfy my cohorts, but it does mitigate that and put more weight into players like Stafford and Burrow and pocket passers.
Yeah, I mean, think about it this way, where if Trey Lance runs for 40 yards, that's a passing touchdown. So it does change things a lot. You get the bonus for the rushing touchdown and a passing touchdown. Just compare it to rushing yards, it doesn't stack up.
So on today's episode, we're going to look at 5 more quarterbacks, 11 through 15. We're also going to discuss players that have juicy opening schedules, streaming candidates. A lot of the time during the season, if you haven't been with us, you know, we bring you a streaming quarterback option each and every week that you can plug and play into your lineup, because, you know, we're not saying don't go draft a quarterback. We're saying be careful of what you trade in draft capital for a quarterback, because there are a lot of very valuable players available at the positions where a Justin Herbert, a Kyler Murray are being drafted. And then we'll talk about some other maybe later round and some super flex thoughts. You know, it feels like if you finish outside the top 10, you're playing 10, 12 man leagues, maybe that's a slap in the face. But over the last 5 years, quarterbacks that finished between 11 and 20 at the position, they average 5 weeks as a top 12 quarterback. So those are your streaming weeks, right?
Yeah, they are very, very usable. There's always a stat that at the end of the year, over 40 quarterbacks end up with
you
a top.
You want to know what the number was last year?
Oh, yeah, I don't know it.
It's a record.
Oh, so it's in the, is it in the 50s?
It's 49.
Okay, goodness.
But you were saying 49 finish with a top 12 performance.
Exactly. I mean, that there's 32 teams and 49 quarterbacks had a quarterback 1 week in fantasy football. This is another reason why late round quarterback works, streaming the position works. And these guys we're going to talk about today are going to be the obvious common streamers. Obviously, to get to 49, you're going to have some injuries, some backups that come in. But the guys today are who you can really plug and play in a great matchup, whether you're playing DFS or your home leagues. And some have real explosive upside.
Here's some names that finished top five in the last month of last year. Taysom Hill, Zach Wilson, Davis Mills, Cam Newton, Tyler Huntley.
Yeah, baby.
Who, by the way, Tyler Huntley, again, looked great in preseason because the Ravens, they cannot be beat in the preseason. 21 consecutive preseason wins.
Cam Newton in the last month of last year
and that's
was
top
a top
five.
Five fantasy quarterback.
On a week.
Wow,
on
I, given, I do not week. Remember that.
I don't remember that either.
That's insane.
Yeah. So at 11 on our consensus 4-point quarterback rankings, comes Dak Prescott. I have him at 10, Mike at 10, Jason at 13. He's being drafted as the quarterback 8, so we're a little bit below ADP. At least I can speak for myself with my ranking of Dak Prescott. It really has nothing to do with Dak. It's just the way the numbers ended up. I think Dak, much like Lamar, will figure things out with a changing receiving core. I just must have liked other quarterbacks slightly more in terms of total stats. But last year, almost 4,500 yards, 37 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. Only ran for one touchdown. That's low for what he normally does on his career. Finished as the quarterback 7. So he's kind of being drafted around, you know, maybe not his complete floor, but close to it.
Yeah, I hope that's true. And I think that probably is true, or at least where I have him ranked is more towards his floor than his ceiling. I've got him at quarterback 13. The nice thing is the coaching staff has talked about his mobility this offseason and getting him more involved in the running game as he did prior to the devastating ankle injury he suffered. And that's a huge part of his fantasy success, because if it's just passing, if that's all that we're going to rely on, well, no Michael Gallup to start the year, no Amari Cooper, you just don't have the same weapons to be great for fantasy. And I think that this is an offense that will be very good. So I trust Dak to get it done. Quarterback 13 isn't a terrible ranking, but he's not someone that I've been excited about, because I do think his ceiling is capped unless he ends up with 6, 7, 8 rushing touchdowns, which obviously he's had several years of 6 rushing touchdowns. It's in the realm of possibility. He just doesn't excite me as much as a lot of the other quarterbacks around him.
Dallas was number one in points per game. Part of that was the defense scoring a bunch, but you can't minimize the fact that you're talking about the quarterback for the team that scored the most points in the NFL, 35 plus points 7 times. I don't think any of us would be so foolish to say, oh, that's only because of Amari Cooper, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of other elements there, but it may take a little time to figure that out. Dr. Schultz himself, his tight end, one of the stability pieces that's still there, so should be really involved. They do start against Tampa and Cincinnati.
Yeah, that's the point I was going to bring up. I would not mind at all heading into the season. I kept waiting on quarterback. I was going with the late round strategy, and the guys that I'm targeting, like Trey Lance, I mean, he's quickly moving up the ADP. There's guys that you like that they're sliding up. If I left the draft with Dak, I think that's perfectly fine. But though Tampa Bay and the Cincinnati Bengals as the first two matchups, that's not particularly what I want my fantasy quarterback going up against. So that part could sting a little bit, but you do follow up with the Giants and Washington after that. So maybe Dak is someone that you're looking for on the waiver wire after a couple weeks. Because I side more with Andy that the guy has only been a top 12 quarterback when healthy. Of course, he broke his ankle, didn't finish in the top 12. I'm not going to hold that against him, guys. It's a bold decision. But he's been fantastic, and he's been fantastic with a lack of weapons before. So I trust in this offense and what Dak can do.
All right, let's go to Bargain Brady. And I'm talking about number 12 on the list, Matthew Stafford. 34 years old. We all have him ranked around 12. He was the quarterback 5 last year. And, you know, it was a pretty steady year for Matthew Stafford. He had what looks like 6 different finishes inside the top 6 on the week. You add Allen Robinson to this offense. You have Cooper Kupp. It was a high touchdown rate. We've seen 40 touchdown Matthew Stafford before, but, you know, the NFL is a little different now. I think 40 is within the range of outcomes here. I'm pretty optimistic that Stafford can stabilize your team if you wait late for quarterback.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Matthew Stafford has done it before. We've seen him bounce back and forth, but with Sean McVay, you know, going into last year, we asked the question, like, are we foolish for missing the obvious nature of matching Stafford with McVay and having a true explosive passing game? And it came to fruition, and they won the Super Bowl. So Stafford is, you say bargain Brady. I think he's going right around Brady, and I would rather have Brady than Stafford. But the addition of Allen Robinson and being able to pass around the goal line, the touchdowns will come. Now here's the thing with Stafford is because he doesn't have the mobility and he's not going to run, if he throws for 32 touchdowns, a very good number, you're not going to be happy with him at all. So I do feel like where you're drafting him is it's not necessarily at his ceiling quarterback rank wise, but where he goes up from there, there's not a bunch of extra juice. He is to me a perfect streamer. Because he plays in the NFC West, who plays the AFC West this year. We talked about that stat of how many, over 50% of all the 50-point games in this coming season, as the Vegas lines currently dictate it, have the NFC and the AFC West involved in those games. So you want pieces in these offenses. I just don't know if I want him as my every single week starter.
Can I test it?
Yeah.
Would you rather have Matthew Stafford and Cortland Sutton or Jalen Hurts?
Jalen Hurts.
Then those two players together? Mike, would you rather
have Matthew Stafford? Well, I would imagine I get another play. I don't just have to delete a roster spot, right?
You are playing
I will
blank?
Definitely take two over one, but I would imagine I get to replace the draft pick of Cortland Sutton with another.
Yeah, but you're talking somebody like Brandon Ayuk.
You're saying
I'm trying to illustrate the differences between those choices. If you draft Jalen Hurts where his ADP is, that is the Sutton range. You are trading Jalen Hurts for a Cortland Sutton. I'm just trying to ask the question of what, you know, would you rather have a Rashad Bateman and Jalen Hurts or would you rather have a Sutton and Matthew Stafford?
Yep.
Those are the kinds of choices fantasy players have to go through.
The downside here for Matthew Stafford, I mean, again, we don't fully know what's going on with the elbow. There's been a lot of negative reporting coming in about the possible tendonitis. I don't know exactly.
Are you worried about that?
It's at least has to be on your radar. Like they haven't shut him down. He's still throwing. And Matthew Stafford.
You don't control my radar, Mike. That's mine.
All right. And he's tough. Like Stafford has played through numerous injuries in his career. So I'm not saying like I'm completely shifting where he is, but you have to factor that in against these other guys. And last year, what's his passing touchdowns?
41?
6.8%.
Okay, and over 40 touchdowns. The Los Angeles Rams last year, let me pull up the number again, had 10 rushing touchdowns. 10. This is the Rams. Like you go back 2 years, 19 rushing touchdowns. Go back 3 years, 20 rushing touchdowns. Like, that's a number that I would expect to at least balance out a little bit. Maybe this new Matthew Stafford Rams, they keep it real heavy on the passing touchdown side. But if that number jumps to 15, just to illustrate what Jason's talking about, if those passing touchdowns come down, and it easily could, it could just turn into Cam. They didn't have a full, I mean, like, it was like Sony Michel for half the season or whatever. If it's truly Cam Akers, a healthy Cam Akers, and a healthy Daryl Henderson, I would expect them to score more than 10 rushing touchdowns.
Previous 4 years with Jared Goff, 20, 22, 32, 28. All right, let's move on.
Hey, Foot Clan, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How is it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, hurry, hurry. And social gatherings, they pick up and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers.
Let's talk about Bargain Stafford.
I'm seeing names here. These really 11 through 15 are a bunch of non-running, pocket passing, touchdown dependent. Mm-hmm. Upside is there, but you have to, you have to paint the picture of it going the right way. But they're all in that category because they don't run the football. Kirk Cousins at 13, Bargain Stafford, who's Bargain Brady. I like Cousins a lot. There have been some Jason, maybe plug your ears. There have been some very, very positive Adam Thielen reports of late. Looking like vintage 2016 to 2018 Adam Thielen.
Oh, that's not possible.
You also have his health is all that matters. I'm telling you right now, his health is all that matters because when he's on the field, he finds a way to dunk on every analyst that has ever doubted him, including last year. Now, he may have dunked through how'd you score that many touchdowns, but all the optimism and all the things we like about Kevin O'Connell, the offense being more pass heavy, Justin Jefferson being a game breaker that's going to be double covered on every play, there is a story here where Adam Thielen ends up being a big value. And again, this is just to say Cousins has multiple weapons. He has been a very steady quarterback. And, is this one of those situations where like, well, we should have seen 40 touchdowns coming from Cousins.
Yeah, Cousins is a great value this year. He's not the type of quarterback that is going to electrify and give you, five number one overall fantasy finishes. But if you want to bypass on the Kyler and Jalen Hurts, get the Cortland Sutton and go with a later quarterback, to me, that's Kirk Cousins. The difference between Kirk Cousins and Matthew Stafford this year, I don't see as drastic. They both, and I look at a quarterback going ahead of Kirk Cousins in Derek Carr. Derek Carr gets a new weapon, and they're like, oh, maybe he'll throw for, 4,300 yards, and now he'll get up into the 30s for his touchdowns. It's like, that's what Kirk Cousins done the last 2 years, and now Kirk Cousins goes away from the defensive-minded head coach, and they get an offensive guy in there who's going to run more three wide receiver sets, throw the ball more.
And they have a worse defense.
A much worse defense
than the Rams.
And his baseline, the last couple of years has been 4,233, 4,235.
Yeah, since Jefferson got there.
So I really, really like targeting Kirk Cousins much later if you don't get one of the top guys.
Mike, talk to me about Aaron Rodgers, who comes in at 14.
That feels bad.
Yes.
Yeah, this doesn't feel right at all.
No.
Again, 4 point per touchdown rankings. Rodgers is a touchdown thrower. And so 6 point per touchdown, per passing touchdown, makes a big difference in where he ends up. He was also the quarterback 6 last year. Got paid $150 million. I know that losing Davante Adams is going to impact him, but at least statistically it hasn't been a big impact when he's had to rotate through receivers. He's lost Jordy. He's lost Cobb. He's lost, a number of meaningful players over the years, and there is some promise here, right? Alan Lazard is there, Romeo Dubs. Christian Watson will eventually be back, even if no one wants to touch him right now. Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon.
The problem is it's like this is very much like the Kansas City Chiefs of everything is hope. I have huge hope for Alan Lazard. I think he can be a double-digit touchdown player that you can get really late in the draft. But for looking at just the numbers for Aaron Rodgers, yeah, he almost always figures it out. But we have those couple years of 2018 and 2019 where he threw 25 touchdowns and 26 touchdowns because his touchdown rate plummeted for him down into the league average and slightly below the league average. So that having said that, even those years he was the quarterback 7 and quarterback 10. So where we have him does it feels really bad and really low where we have him, but this is just where our projections put him. It's really scary to bet on a completely unknown set of wide receivers. Mahomes at least has Travis Kelce, where we know that connection's fantastic. But all the pieces around Rodgers, is his newfound rejuvenation and love. Like, if all the stuff that's going on with Rodgers in the offseason, one of the things he talked about was he's back in love with football. He kind of, you know, some self-reflection. He's got some self-happiness now. Likes the game again. So, of our rankings, this one feels by far like the scariest of, will look really bad, and Rodgers just continues to be great.
You think his GPG will go down?
His GPG?
Yeah, the grimaces per game.
If he's
a happier fella,
But I also think that could just be, like, that's just his competition phase. He can't control that.
When push comes to shove, I have a hard time saying that I wouldn't draft Rodgers over Stafford or Kirk Cousins if I had that choice, just because
he's Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers, and he'll go out and he'll play against the Rams defense and be the number two quarterback on the week, or he'll go out and play against, you know, a challenging opponent, and he has a nice start to the year. Minnesota, Chicago.
Hey, man.
I mean, he lives to destroy Chicago.
Yes, he does.
I believe he is the owner of the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, reminded him.
We just lost the city of Chicago.
They know. they're aware. They've lived there.
They're trusting the process, man.
Yeah, look, I talked about one of the tips last week was to draft high volatility players with high upside that can go out and win a week. If you're talking about the difference between Kirk Cousins and Aaron Rodgers, if they're at the same place in the draft, if they fall to around the same place, which I just had that happen in one of my drafts, I took Aaron Rodgers over Kirk Cousins because I do think that the peaks will be higher, and so he will win me more weeks. That being said, this is a team and a new setup and a new system here that I do think his lows will be more than we have been used to. Even last year when he was the quarterback 6, he had 6 games, you know, outside of the top 14 quarterbacks. So just where he really didn't come through, because this is a really good defense in a pretty easy division right now. I don't think that the Lions and Bears are really scaring people, even if there's hope. And so if the team gets up, A.J. Dillon, Aaron Jones, they can really control this game, get an easy win, and you can have a lot of disappointing games. But when Aaron Rodgers needs to throw, I don't care who the receivers are, he'll get his touchdowns and he'll have his monster top three, you know, finish on the fantasy week.
Finished at 7, finished at 10 with Davante Adams back in 2018 and 2019. So that is where he can be. You know, he can end up in that range. I forgot he jumped from 26 touchdowns to 48 between 2019 and 2020.
Yeah, he was back.
So, Derek Carr coming in at 15. Look, there's not anything positive fantasy-wise you can say about Derek Carr last year. Now, as an NFL quarterback, he is more highly valued than he is in fantasy. But it's hard to say that Davante Adams is going to walk in the door and completely fix Derek Carr's entire history. Fantasy-wise, his highest finish on any week last year was 7 for a single week. That's with 4,800 yards passing.
And that was QB7 with 19 points.
Yeah,
that's a bad week.
He wasn't even, I mean, if you look at if you go to the website, thefantasyfootballers.com, we rank consistency on the player profiles. Derek Carr's consistency was 41.2%. That is the percent of games in which he exceeded 21 points. That's just considered a decent benchmark for the quarterback position. So 4 out of 10 games, you got decency from Derek Carr, and that's the reality. That's not an insult to Derek Carr, the player. That's just an indictment on his fantasy value, and I don't think Adams can fix all of that.
No, he can't. He's going to make Derek Carr better, but I mean, we've got 8 seasons of Derek Carr being a quarterback, and he's had good weapons. He had Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree, and he's had good weapons before. He has never once finished as a quarterback 1 on the season in 4-point per passing touchdown leagues. He's never been a massive touchdown thrower. His touchdown totals over the last several years, 23, 27, 21, 19, 22, 28. So can he get to 30?
Sure. Yeah,
in this division.
Why not?
Absolutely. You know what, Carr? You get to 30 this year. I just declared it. You're allowed. But, like, Kirk's going to be at 30 for sure. Stafford's going to be at 30 for sure.
It's funny because
Rodgers is going to be 30 for, like,
yeah, and Stafford has Cooper Kupp. Kirk Cousins has Justin Jefferson. This is not those are at least equal weapons compared to Davante Adams. So that's just the reality. That's why we have him ranked at 15, 4-point leagues. Other players, you know, out of the 5 that we mentioned today, let's start here. Dak, Stafford, Cousins, Rodgers, Carr. Are any of those, who's got the highest odds of finishing in the top 8?
Aaron Rodgers.
I would say Rodgers probably. Yeah, okay. It does feel that way.
I mean, him or Dak. Outside of the top 15 quarterbacks, our next 5: Daniel Jones, Tua Tagovailoa, Trevor Lawrence, Matt Ryan, Mac Jones. Yeah, you're not really.
There's two guys there, okay, that I'm interested in, and it's Tua and Trevor Lawrence, because there are situations that have changed where you can make the narrative that they will step up. Now, Tua, we've seen a lot more of. He has much, much, much better weapons. When you've got Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, those players can do a lot for you, but he doesn't run the ball, so you're going to have some of the Joe Burrow stuff where even though your weapons are great, you might not be great for fantasy. The one that I'm
How'd you like to play New England, Baltimore, Buffalo, Cincinnati for Tua's?
I would not like that start.
Opening schedule.
No, thank you.
But the quarterback that I'm most interested in that's kind of the later guys is Trevor Lawrence, who when I exited last season, I had left for dead. I gave no room for improvement because he just looked so inaccurate. He did not show me a lot of flashes. But diving deeper and looking at how putridly that offense was run last year, and the fact that he still got 3,600 yards passing as a rookie with Urban Meyer and no weapons, and now they go and they get him Evan Ingram and they get him Christian Kirk and Zay Jones.
Etienne is back.
Yeah. Travis Etienne is back. And, you know, he passed a lot to the running back last year. So you could have a lot of those inflated stats the way that Drew Brees used to have, just by dumping the ball to a running back and taking it from there. I do think that if there's one quarterback later that really surprises and next year is, you know, talking about, oh man, he's the pick, it would be Trevor Lawrence. It would be the player who was drafted number 1 overall, is supposed to be otherworldly, you know, the Peyton Manning, the Andrew Luck. Maybe he is the dude. He's still 22 years old right now.
Opens against Washington, who gave up the most quarterback fantasy points in 2021. So if you do want to risk something, week 1, you know, you have the chance that you have a starter, to Jason's point. Is there anybody else on the remainder of the quarterback list that you want to call out as interesting by way of streaming candidate?
I will say it. It's Daniel Jones, because he actually is mobile. He, you know, just over the course of his career, even if he gets tripped up a little bit by the turf monster, we've still seen big plays out of him. You know, his sophomore year, over 400 rushing yards. That's not elite, but we're not talking about elite fantasy quarterbacks right now. If they can figure it out in New York with the new Dable system, then Daniel Jones will have weeks where you are very happy to stream him against a bad defense. The reports are not great, though. like right now.
Oh, is he still looking like Daniel Jones?
Yeah, he's still looking like Daniel Jones.
Well, that's one of his weaknesses.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's why I'm very hesitant talking about this. But when quarterbacks in this range, like I have, Matt Ryan is going to be fine. He will be just so right in that sweet spot of QB 12 to 15 ish, where you're like, yeah, I didn't lose because of Matt Ryan. But he certainly, I don't think he helped me win, and I would say that's how I feel exactly.
You probably
about
lost
Matt.
Because he didn't help you win.
Okay, and that and the guys in this range, that's how I feel. That's how I feel about Mac Jones as sure. well. Like, just I don't think that he's fine. He's a good quarterback. He's in a great situation, but the way that
you fine with him as a quarterback too in Superflex,
Mac Jones or
Matt Ryan or Mac Jones?
Yeah,
yeah. I think the pocket passing guys who aren't going to go out and win you a week, but are consistent. Those are the guys I really like as my second quarterback in a super flex league because they give you a really high baseline and hopefully you have a solid quarterback one. If you're not in a super flex and you're just looking for another late round dart throw who can go out and win you a week, I think it's Justin Fields.
Yes.
Just because of the mobility. He could run for 800-900 yards. If he runs for 900 yards, he's a top 12 quarterback this year. Like, there's just it doesn't even matter if he sucks. He's a top 12 quarterback.
Better run the right direction, though, towards the opposing.
I would agree with that.
Miles Sanders missed practice on Tuesday. He is looking to hang out with Antonio Gibson, the way that news has broke for Miles Sanders over the last month. Struggling with pass catching, you have Kenneth Gainwell, you have other backfield options. Miles Sanders had a brief point in which I thought maybe we'd get something special, but really him and Antonio Gibson are not trending the right way.
And Gainwell is very good. I think Gainwell is going to be, like, in a dynasty league, he's someone that I would try to steal for free, even if it's not for this year. It's kind of like last year, we told a lot of people, go get Ramondre Stevenson, because there was kind of 1 year left, is what it looked like with Damian Harris, and that's how I feel about Gainwell going forward, because if he shows a little bit more in his sophomore year than he did in his rookie year going into next year, I think they will allow him to take more of the reins.
That is going to do it for today's episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Couple reminders for you, the Ultimate Draft Kit giveaway. Make sure you head over there, ultimatedraftkit.com. Make yourself eligible to win the UDK for life. Also, we will be doing a mock draft episode later this week, I believe Friday, but I'm looking for a nod Friday.
And
I think the Deucers will be involved in this one as well. I mean, they may never be involved in another one after we get done with them, but I think we're going to give it a go. All right, make sure you follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and we'll catch you tomorrow.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.